Hey everyone, Blackbird here from Hex Rated. Thanks for joining us today. We've got an oldie but a goodie. We had this episode recorded and just never put it up, but it's about Scarlett's trip to a retreat or a fest called Wasteland. And this is from last summer, and it's all about a public ritual she did. So sit back, relax, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks for joining us. I put a spell on you. Because you're mine.
You better stop the thing that you do. Hey, lady.
Hey.
Oh my gosh, we are here.
We are recording.
I am Blackbird.
I'm Scarlett.
We're Hex Rated. And we've been gone.
We've been everywhere except recording.
Yeah.
I've been out of town. You've been out of town. You did a little jaunt up the coast.
I did. Ooh, I do want to talk about that too. There's a lot that's going on. Also, my mom died. So that was a lot, but that's like a whole episode, I feel like, which might not be this episode because, you know, I'm on meds. Meds are good. I don't know. Let me tell you. So I've been taking Lexapro, like half a pill of Lexapro, which is A-okay, makes me not cry all day. And then I started Wellbutrin this past week. I went to an actual psychiatrist. Yes, I am going to talk about this on the podcast because mental health is important and we want to demystify and destigmatize getting treated for your mental health. So I made my own appointment with a psychiatrist. I've been waiting for this appointment for like 3 months. It takes forever to get into this. It's just the UC San Diego clinic, but it takes forever. So I am officially... what did they call it? Sorry. I'm like, I am officially diagnosed with a thing that I can't remember. Major depressive disorder. I'm like, yay. I have a name.
Major.
I know. Major. Not minor, motherfuckers. But anyway, they decided to.
But in a minor key.
Yeah, but in a minor key, because minor key is the best key. They decided to augment the Lexapro with Wellbutrin to like, it's supposed to kind of like, and I took Wellbutrin a long time ago, but I was also drinking, so who knows what it was doing to me then, but it's supposed to kind of give you a little more energy. And it feels like, at least for the first couple of days, it felt like, you know how you feel when you stay up for like a whole day and a half maybe, and then you drink a pot of coffee after that? Yeah, that's kind of how it felt the first day. Like, I'd just been on, like, 3 5-hour energy things, but not in, like, a good way. Like, you have that overtiredness, but it's seemed to have calmed down now. Like, today's just been good where I've, like, done shit and also relaxed. Felt more normal, so I don't know. But...
that's good.
Yeah. And then, yes, I went up to a cute little town called Solvang, which is like a cute little Danish town. And they have many, many Danish bakeries. So that was very exciting. I got some delicious treats there. And then also went up a little further to San Luis Obispo and stayed at the famous Madonna Inn, which was rad. It is very kitschy. All the rooms have a theme. I think we stayed in like the, I don't know, it's like the mountain cabin or whatever. And it's got this mural on the wall of like a stagecoach and Native Americans like looking at the stagecoach. It's all very like, you could tell it was built in the 50s. And
yeah, it's not like kitschy by accident. It is like kitschy by design. It is like deliberately over the top, is it not?
Yes, very. It's like this white, it's all these white like wooden buildings that have these fanciful staircases, and you know, some of the suites are just really amazing, and they have all these rooms that they call like the rock rooms, where they have a rock shower, like a waterfall shower, And like, I will say, I think it presents better, like, on the website. Like, it's still adorable, but it is also like, when you know, like, how when you get up close to certain things, it's kind of like, oh, okay, maybe not the coolest thing in the world, but definitely worth at least one or two stays for sure. And the pool was glorious. Like, it was a really good, like, long weekend, just drive up the coast. And then, like, as soon as I got back, that's my mom got sick and flew to Texas. And that was an, like, flying was really, I was ready to do it in September. I was not ready to do it, like, now, you know, like, it's still, like, too soon. But got on a plane, went to Texas, was there for, like, 11 days, and then came back and got tested, like, almost immediately, like, 3 days after I got back. And I was fine. Negatory for the COVIDs. So, but yeah, I don't know. It's been lots of traveling. What about you? Have you gone anywhere lately?
I went to Atomic Falls, which is like a wasteland weekend event.
Yes.
So it's one of the medium sized ones. There's several. There's the Wasteland Weekend. There's Nuclana. There's a whole bunch throughout the year. So it's basically, it's kind of the same crowd as like the Burning Man crowd a little bit, but it's all like post-apocalyptic themed. So it is sort of like Mad Max, you know,
painting your face silver. Sort of. I don't know.
Yes.
Cool.
So everyone sort of has a character and everyone dresses in theme. And this event is in Oklahoma and it's at a paintball range. Ooh. So they have it all done up with these, like, it's like D-Day themed normally, the paintball park. So they've got like helicopters and tanks and stuff, and they've got these like strategic outbuildings. So it looks like a wasteland. It's totally perfect.
That's awesome.
For this kind of event. But I have some friends in the Tulsa area, and I'd been once before. They didn't have it last year. So I went this year again, and it was super fun. It was balls hot. But and I was asked. So at most of these types of events, you can either, you know, camp in the public camping by yourself, or you can be with a group camp that has like a designated space and generally is like putting on events for the entire crew, and usually has like a theme, and within the theme of post-apocalyptic and everything. So I camped with them, and we did several public parties and some other events for everybody. So
is that what we're doing today? Is that what you want to do?
I think so. Is it?
I think we should do it. Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds so
awesome.
Well,
so one of my friends invited me to do a like a ritual of some kind for our tribe or our camp. And I was like, well, what were you thinking? Like an initiation or like protection or what? And so I kind of went with both themes. The event's from like Wednesday to Sunday night. So I did it on Thursday because most people kind of come in. They trickle in. Not everyone is there on Wednesday night because they can't get off work. So I did it Thursday. So it was not as cray as like Friday night. It was a little more chill. And we had about like, I want to say like 15 people. So I had been planning that, and I think I mentioned it on the podcast before that I was going to do this ritual. So, but it's the first like public ritual I've ever officiated. So that was kind of a big deal for me.
I know. So I want to so you sent me the ritual and that was cool. Can you okay. So you're kind of setting the scene with the apocalyptic vibe. And it's balls hot and it's Oklahoma. What's the what's the surroundings look like? Is everybody dressed up all the time? Are there tents everywhere? Paint us a picture.
So like I said, it's like this paintball place. So it's out in the country. It's hilly. There's some cleared areas, but there's like a lot of trees. And there are some permanent structures that are like these cinder block cement sort of buildings that look like, you know, you're in World War II and it's like a blown out building. And then you have these various camps that are scattered throughout these public areas. Everyone's dressed up the whole time. Even if you get up to use the porta potty in the middle of the night, you need to be in theme. And everybody's camp is usually decorated in theme. So it's not just like people in their Honda.
So, yes.
With like a sleeping bag. Like,
say more about the different
art cars.
Yeah. Say more about different themes. Tell us all the themes.
Right. Well, so we're the Skull Tribe or the Scullies. But most of. So. Most people will like either camouflage or decorate their cars or their tents. A couple of people in our tribe have custom vehicles that they have that they use specifically for events like this.
Wow.
So one of them has like a big van that they've grunged up, and someone else has like an old hitch trailer, but it looks like very like military issue and old fashioned. So, and then we have like several public areas with like shade structures and things, but we try to like kind of grunge those up and have everything look a little bit more in theme as opposed to like, you know, somebody's like 4th of July cookout
or
something.
Right. Not so, just like a picnic.
So yeah. So everybody's in costume the whole time. And like some people, like, I mean, people spend all year like working on these costumes and like making gear and making armor. And, like, you know, if they have, like, four-wheelers, they'll trick those out so they look wastelandy. Like I said, some people have, like, art cars that they've decorated that look all like something from Mad Max. So, yeah. So it's pretty atmospheric. It's not just like you're in a park and people are playing softball nearby or something. And it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
Or even like more than like LARPing, like, you know, it's definitely more than LARPing. Like, you know, it's for a whole weekend. So, or however long
yes.
it lasts. Can you tell us about your character?
So I didn't choose this, but the Skull Tribe, whenever they kind of went the first time, they all decided that their wasteland names would be animals. So, like, there's wolf and tiger and bee and fox. There's a capybara and a peacock. Some of they get sillier and, like, less wastelandly as you go. But I'm Coyote.
Perfect.
I was going to be Fox, but Fox was already taken, so I was Coyote. And word to the wise, be careful when you pick a well-known trickster deity and you are adjacent to like ancestral land and where, like, so, cause I got the first year I went, I got completely fucking turnt on one of the nights, and this year I did as well. we built this tower and I was up on it spitting on people.
Yes. Okay.
and I kept getting in fights with people, and I got in an elbow fight with somebody, and I the next day my elbow was like all black. So I get fucking silly. So, but just one night out of all of them.
That's
so.
Hey, I mean,
but people are prepared for the Coyote show.
I was going to say it sounds in character. So,
but the other thing about my character is I dress all in red because most people are in, you know, like khaki or camo or like, you know, like grungy, dirty, like wasted out clothes. So usually those kind of neutral tones.
Yeah,
so
but
I was
so
like,
you
oh, it'd be
stand
fun
out,
to do just
yeah.
all red.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's unique. And so I was kind of like going for like a wasteland Melisandre
Love it.
Thing. So I sort of have that going on too, of this sort of like red priestess sort of thing, and my hair is red. So
well, that's kind of
so that definitely
well,
makes me stand out.
I was gonna say, does that add to the whole fact that they asked you to kind of do a ritual? And, you know, let's go. Yeah, let's talk about the actual ritual and then, you know, how it went this year.
Right. Well, so one of my friends, like, he's kind of into the occult as well, although we've never really super discussed it or done anything together. But he asked me because The other thing about these events, and similar to like Burning Man events, is it's a gifting culture. So the idea is that when you go, you bring things that are gifts, and it could either be like things that you make, or it could be interactions that you have with people. It could be an event, or, you know, a game or something that you do for the community. You know, people throw parties, people do, they'll have like games or tournaments with like, you know, in the theme. So they, our tribe did drag races, but it was like a relay race with trikes. Nice. And like every turn you got like put in drag.
Oh my God, how awesome.
So like, you know, like silly things like that. One of our this last year, one of our friends came up with electric Jenga. So they made one of those big, large, oversized outdoor Jenga sets, and then they got shock collars.
Oh my God.
So certain of the Jenga pieces were marked with a lightning bolt, and if you pulled one of those, you got shot.
That's awesome.
So awesome. So stuff like that, that's like silly, harmless fun. So and like our people will make food. Like there's people that do pancake breakfasts for the whole event, or like we had some friends that did like a coffee station in the morning for everybody.
How many people so just stuff do like you that. Think so, total?
Oh, like a few thousand, I guess.
Oh, wow. That's pretty
big. I mean,
big.
At least several hundred.
Yeah, that's big.
So the idea of doing something that's either sort of an interaction or an event with either for your tribe or your camp or for the whole event at large is sort of part of the thing. So doing this ritual, it's not like a witchy themed event necessarily, but it is adjacent. I mean, I would probably say that the Venn diagram of Wastelanders and LARPers and Rennies and Pagans they overlap quite a bit. So that was one of the considerations in doing the ritual. So basically I was like, I'm doing a ritual in public. It's going to be outside. It's going to be in a camping environment, so I have to bring everything, and it has to, like, you know, not be things that need to be refrigerated or heavy or can be outside. Right. And it's going to be people that do not necessarily have a witchy background.
Right.
Because most of the public rituals I go to are at Pantheacon or are put on at a pagan store or event, so... In general,
like people know what they're showing up for.
95% of everybody there is kind of, you know, they at least sort of are expecting some witchy stuff.
Right.
It might not be their tradition or their jam, but like they kind of know the drill a little bit.
Right.
So doing something for an audience that is weird, but not necessarily like pagan weird, was kind of a challenge. And my main thing, which... If you've listened to this podcast before, you know, is one of the things that we talk about a lot from our Pantheacon recaps and other events that we go to is pointers that we find about things that work or didn't work with public rituals.
Right.
So I was armed with all that information.
It's good.
And I was like, I really want it to be something where it's interactive enough. And the fine line with that to me is you don't want to just be standing in one spot reading something and have everyone just stand there and look at you.
Right. No.
But on the other hand, even with seasoned pagans, and especially with people that kind of don't know what to expect, you also don't want to put people on the spot.
Right. Yeah.
And have people feel like they need to perform or that they are being looked at or that they are worried that they're going to do something incorrectly. And then it becomes intimidating and people feel like there's an awkwardness and now they are roped into something or they are having to perform and they're not comfortable with that.
Well, and then so there's always...
Well,
there's always that.
Sorry, what?
There's always those people that are real into it, and they make everybody that is not into performing or whatever feel like even worse sometimes. You know, like there's always those couple of people that are just like full bore, ready to like be very dramatic, and it kind of makes other people that would have just like done something kind of edgy or whatever, like, that person just like.
Yeah. I'm more concerned about people feeling like, you know, having opportunities for people to move around or say something or do something and feel like they're participating instead of just watching me talk. But on the other hand, if people just want to sit and observe,
right.
I don't want to have those opportunities to participate be things where people that do not want to participate now feel like they are being singled out,
right.
And for their non-participation.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely didn't want that. So, and like I said, this was like a group of like probably 15 people or so.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a huge group, but I mean, it was mixed of people that I didn't know at all. And some people I did know kind of a little bit. And then people that are my friends. So it was sort of a weird mix. We had a couple of people that were just like walking through the camp that aren't members of our camp and had no idea what we were doing. And we're standing there. And then when we got started, they were like, oh shit, like, can I just leave? Should I stay?
Oh, how funny.
And they ended up staying and like really enjoying it. So, so that was good. But like, so I hope that that means that my goal of it feeling fun and inclusive and not feeling like people were being singled out or something, worked, because people that had no idea what we were doing and didn't even know any of us were just like, oh, I'm just going to see what's going on over here. And
that's awesome.
Check it out.
Okay. So I'm looking at your, the things that you brought for the ritual, and I love all these things. And we use a lot of these things when we have a ritual, but I really like the soil and the, like the knife and the cord. So do you want to talk about the stuff or do you want to just talk about the ritual?
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Go for it.
Well, so since I was having to drive everything out in my car and at the expense of other shit that I could have been bringing. Yeah. And like I said, it's stuff that, you know, can't be delicate. I'm not afraid of it getting broken.
Right.
It's not stuff that needs to be kept at like an indoor temperature.
Right.
So candles, anything with wax would be out, you know, anything that is like a fresh herb or something would be out. Any kind of food related item that is not non-perishable would be out. So I used a lot of things that we tend to use in our rituals. But I had to think real hard about it because normally it's just in the room with us when we get started.
Right.
So, the idea of being like, well, how am I going to transport this? How am I going to arrange everything? What's it going to be like? Standing without, you know, all my tables and chairs and things.
Right.
So that took some sort of choreographing a little bit and some prep of just how to use these familiar things, but have them laid out in an attractive way. 'Cause that's the other thing. Like, I'm in a, like kind of a field in the middle of like cars and tents and vans and stuff. So
how can I make it look,
you know,
cool?
I want it to look cool, but I don't want it to just be like on some fucking dorky card table or something.
Right.
So, I have this, tray that I got from like after Halloween that is just a wooden tray, but it's got like a Ouija board kind of printed on it.
Yeah.
So it looks cool and it's like the perfect size to carry all these things. So, I knew I wanted to have, incense. 'Cause that automatically sets the stage. You know, people smell something like dark and weird and earthy, you know, like, 'cause I used, Strange Fire and Fumery, and a lot of their things are very strong. So they're good for outdoors. Two, they're like very dark and they have these like very not sweet cloying type of notes. Mm. So they do feel very like, ooh, what is that?
Nice.
You know, they smell great, but it's not like, oh, it smells like flowers, or
yeah,
like
no.
It smells like someone's deodorant,
nope.
You know?
Yeah. It's like, it smells like a grave.
Right. And so, and then we usually use, salt and vinegar and honey, in our rituals. And I usually just have them in like little, small shallow dishes, kind of like soy sauce dishes,
right.
Out on my altar. So I had some like little tiny craft bottles. You know, you could get like a little set of them for like a dollar at the craft store. Mm-hmm. So I put a little bit of each in those so I would physically have something there that I wasn't worried about spilling and but looked cool.
Right.
Didn't take up a lot of space, you know. And then I also have this, it's like a little mini broom, but it's made out of cinnamon. And I got it at Trader Joe's over the holidays, like around Christmas or Yule. And it smells fucking great because it's made of cinnamon. So I was using that as an aspergillum. I have, for the bowl that I used, I have, again, a post-Halloween find from Target.
Yes.
It's like this brass bowl, but it's got like a little tripod that's like little bird claws.
Oh, neat.
So it looks cool and freaky. And then I brought one of my singing bowls, which ended up being a huge hit because a lot of people had never been around one.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah. And then the other thing is I made a I made little talismans for everyone to take home.
Yeah.
Because when we went to that, I went to a ritual with one of my friends, and it was outdoors, and they gave everybody like a little goodie bag.
I think you told us some of it was stuff about that. There, like right. A tarot card and some other things.
And I loved that.
Yeah.
I thought that that was really great because some of it was stuff that you could use for the ritual and some of it was stuff that like you could take home.
Right.
And who doesn't love a goodie bag?
Everybody
loves it. Everybody loves party favors. Always a fucking hit.
Yep.
Also, always great to, and I mean, smokers know this, it's always good to have something in your hand.
Always.
Like, because then you feel like, I'm not just standing here looking like a dumbass. I'm standing here with a thing in my hand.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
I don't know why, but it's just, if you feel more confident and you feel like you have purpose and you're supposed to be there when you've got something to hold on to.
Yep.
And, so I'll talk a little bit more about some of these other things that I probably haven't addressed yet. But basically, I kind of went with our general structure of our invocations because I'm of the school of not trying to please all the people all the time.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm saying that this is going to be a witchy witchcraft ritual. It's going to be a ritual, and I want it to feel kind of dangerous and spooky ooky and maybe freak people out a little bit and have people a little nervous.
Yeah.
To do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not like, oh, I want it to be like really cool and chill and not freak. Like, I was like, no.
No.
That's
not what you're about.
You know, if I'm saying that I'm gonna be doing like a brand, it's not my brand, but it's also like, I kind of wanted to build up that anticipation.
Right.
And there were several people that are not witchy that were telling me like the weeks leading up to the ritual. And then when we got there, they were like, I'm so excited for this.
Oh, that's awesome.
Cause it's really, a lot of people have never been to a ritual.
That's
so
bad.
They just, you know, so I kept it pretty basic with our stuff and used kind of a lot of our language because it's very poetic. I think it sounds awesome. There's some stuff in there that probably wouldn't make sense to somebody that didn't write it with us or hasn't listened to us explain it on the podcast before, but I kind of like that.
Yeah.
That it feels heavy, that you're like, this means something. It sounds like it could be ancient, or it sounds like something that a handful of people like developed over several, you know, like that it has that weight to it.
Right.
That it sounds thoughtful, even if you might not understand it.
Right.
And, right. So that was kind of where I was coming from with that. And then I knew that, so I was like, protection, I mean, that's kind of generic. And also the idea of like, you're going to a post-apocalyptic wasteland weekend, like the idea of like protection is kind of a little bit counterintuitive to like the sort of safety third ethos.
Right.
So I decided that since, especially in our tribe, everybody has a tribe name and it's an animal, that it was going to be more of an initiation.
Yeah.
And I really liked this idea of, since we have other names that we use, to have the actual ritual part be about ceremonially leaving behind the mundane world and entering into this wasteland world and leaving behind your mundane personality and name and outfits and clothes and behavior and taking on your wasteland persona. So I knew that that was going to be kind of the gist of it. And I also really liked this idea because we've done this before, just messing around with energy medicine and stuff. But I liked the idea when we do like our fake Reiki,
yeah,
of like pulling, like physically with our hands, like feeling like we're pulling energy or pulling negative things or pulling physical pain away or out of people. Right. And I have this great fucking Damascus steel curved blade,
yeah, it's
that
beautiful.
I don't use enough for anything. I was like, I'll bring that. It looks fucking freaky as shit. I don't get to use it ever. And I will just like not cut anybody, but in the air in front of them, act like I'm going to read them and see like where they need things severed, like either in terms of their confidence or anxieties that are preoccupying them, so they're not having fun, or inhibitions, or whatever it is, or, you know, like physical discomfort that's holding them back, whatever I felt like, you know, and everybody was going to be different. And I was just going to do like a quick kind of like energy medicine read on them.
I love it.
And again,
oh my God.
Though, again, like knowing that I was going to have a dozen or so people, that's another issue though, is that because we've been in rituals where there was a huge bottleneck,
yep,
where you had people were supposed to like come up and take something, yeah,
or you're,
hand
you're
something
just
or
waiting
put it in a,
for
or whatever,
somebody else to do a
and,
thing. Yeah.
Right. And there's like literally a line and everybody fucking hates.
Right. But you could put them all in a circle and then you could move around the circle. Is that what you did?
Exactly.
Hey.
Well, and it's also that something where it's an action that's quick enough. So this isn't going to take an hour,
right,
to get through everybody.
Right.
Also, I think that it's something that's cool and interesting to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's not just like you're waiting for the thing for you and it's very boring and not interesting to watch someone else get it done, you know, that. So that's another thing that I was trying to think of, is that if I'm going to have people participate or do something, or I'm going to do something to them, it's got to be something that doesn't take forever. And hopefully is interesting enough for other people that are waiting. So with all that said, I started off, and of course, I told everybody, and I'm just going to start reading from my, oh, and I also made ritual booklets for everybody,
right,
which I do when we are here together, just because they're fun and they look cool. And we're all, half of us are English majors. So we love little
books. Yes, we do.
But I did these. They were quarter size. So they were a regular 8.5 by 11 folded twice.
Nice.
So and I did them in a cute font, and they had black paper on the outside, and they were very cute. And I will post pictures of this. And I gave everybody that. And, you know, I explained a little bit about, you know, this is sort of, if you have anything that you want to say, either out loud or in your head, that you say, please go ahead. It was so cute because everybody was like reading them like really intensely while I was setting up.
That's awesome.
Which I thought was really cute. Like people were like, oh shit, okay, I gotta like. So that was fun. But okay, I started off and, you know, I lit the incense. I had a little table with my tray. And I had my singing bowl laid out. I had the incense burning. I had my knife. I had the talismans ready to go that I was going to hand out last. I had my aspergillum. I had my bowl of water that looked really cool and all of that. And so I told everybody, if I want to touch you or hand you something or otherwise invite you to do something or say something and you want to decline, just put your hands over your chest in an X, or you can also just say no or no thank you.
That's awesome.
So, you know, because we had some people that I think everyone ended up pretty much fully participating. But I think that there were some people that kind of just wanted to watch.
Right.
And so I felt like I didn't want anyone to feel called out,
yeah,
and be like, it's and, you know, I always say like observation is participation.
Yep.
And so, and I said, I invite you to ring along, read along, or chime in when you feel moved. You can snap, you can stomp or clap. And so I handed those out. And so I did our Witches 3 invocation with the colors.
Yay.
And to make it a little more interactive, because we don't normally cast a circle. In fact, we usually refer to it as a triangle if we kind of conceptualize it as a physical space at all.
Right.
But because most of these people were expecting a ritual, I ended up walking the circle and pouring out a different substance so that it was a little more visual. It wasn't me just standing in one place, everybody looking at me. It was because they were all standing in a circle looking at this cool little altar situation I had set up and then watching me go in this motion and do all of that.
Right.
And then I also tried to think of something, because we did a ritual one time where we were like, we do so much reading, like, let's do like movement and sound. And so I was really inspired by that. I thought that that worked out really well. And it's also something that I think people can get behind, because, again, it's not like they're having to say something that they memorized,
right,
or feel like they're being called on in class or something. Right. Something that's like a little more physical.
Well, and I feel like a little bit more anonymous. That setting kind of lends itself to that too, you know?
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. So I had dirt that I had gotten from there, so for black, and I walked in. I go, Shakur, Lady of Shadow, Witch of the Black, Obsidian Mother, the circle's boundary. You are not what is outside, but what is all. You are the wasteland and the infinite expanse beyond. Blackening us with wicked soil, you are the path we walk where moonlight dare not touch. And then I invited everyone to, when I finished walking the circle, to pound on the ground, either stomp or bend over and hit the ground. Mm-hmm. And people did it because, like, we've done stuff like that before in our, and it feels fucking great.
Awesome.
It feels amazing.
Yes.
It always feels, it feels so cathartic and great. And just to pound on something, or, and because it's a very like whimsical, like childlike action.
Right.
You know, it's not something you're allowed to do at work.
Could you
right?
tell if people were like enjoying, like felt that energy building up? Could you tell?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And I think bending over and touching the ground, like even if you're not always witchy helps. Or pagan or have some kind of earth-based spirituality, like physically touching the ground feels very grounding.
Yep. Like, yeah. I mean, imagine that. Yes.
So while we were doing that, I said, we knock at the threshold and it rises to meet us. Reveal our circle as you reveal what is unseen.
Awesome.
And then for white, I was going to do some like cascarilla, which is like ground eggshells, but I didn't have it. So I just used, I was going to use flour, but then I found some bentonite clay that I had. So I used that.
Yeah.
So I had basically white powder. Hidge, Lady of Bone, Witch of the White, Alabaster Mother, you are the line, the circle itself. You open by dividing the veil, concealing witches as they conspire and take flight. Humming a twisted song, you whisper secrets of death and birth. We feel you in our marrow. So I did my singing bowl. And I asked everybody to hum along, just go, and people got really, really into it because we did it for a while.
That's
so, you know, like people be like, like, so, you know, people were like really enthusiastic about keeping it going. And people were like, I got a lot of questions about the bowl afterwards because people had never seen one. And not only does it make a sound, but especially if you're in a smaller circle of people, you can feel it vibrating
yeah.
through you.
Yeah.
So there's sort of a sensory element.
I love what you wrote. I mean, it's so beautiful. Humming a twisted song.
I mean, some of it you probably wrote too, because it was kind of Frankenstein from our general script. So I changed some of it a little bit, but it is not 100% Scarlet original.
Whatever. It sounds great. So did,
but yeah, people really liked that. Yeah. And I think that most people, because, you know, like usually when we do something where we're chanting or, you're humming a mantra or you're doing the singing bowl or whatever it is, you sort of start doing it. And then there's that moment where it just feels like enough.
Yeah.
And it's always so surprising because almost everybody like is on board.
Yep.
It's not one of those things where like someone's clapping and then like someone just is the last person being like, oh shit, oh wait, we're stuck.
No, it like everybody like, feels so, it. It's like in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so I felt like everyone really felt that. And it was great because for people that have never been in a ritual or maybe we're not like walking into this with a ton of intention or, you know, we're really interested in participating necessarily, I think having that experience that of that like group mind thing where everybody's sort of on the same vibe felt really good and unusual to people.
Yeah.
So, and while when we finished doing that, I said, draw our circle as you draw the curtain between the worlds so that we may perceive each in turn.
Nice.
And then I did red with, I had red rose petals. Also consider that all of these things had to be biodegradable and safe.
Right.
So obviously I couldn't use like, for example, salt. I don't want to salt the earth there because it's bad for the soil.
Right.
So it had to all be things that were going to be environmentally friendly and wouldn't hurt the groundwater or anything.
That's great.
Ruad, Lady of Blood, Witch of the Red, Sanguine Mother. The circle's center. You are not what is inside, but what is in between, beyond and below, beside and across. Weaving a twisted path strewn with roses and briars both, we taste you in our blood. And so then I had everybody kind of stretch and shake and spin. And like, it, people felt kind of silly at first, but then everybody sort of really got into it.
Awesome.
And I was just like, just whatever it is that you feel like you need to get out of your system, if you want to jump or stomp and like people. So, and I think like, you know, once one or two people start doing it, everybody's like, oh, okay, you know. So
I have a question.
And I, yes.
Did everybody, did anybody, and I know we do it just because, I don't know, we started doing it and we just never stopped, but did anybody like read out loud with you on any words or anything?
No, I was a little disappointed, but not surprised.
Yeah.
Because
it's not
the way
a normal
that we do
thing.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's not like a poetry slam. Like people weren't comfortable doing that, But I think that the thing that was good is because I kept all of these pretty short and then had a thing for everybody to do that they didn't have to and that was like kind of subtle. So, you know, if you didn't want to hum along with the singing bowl, like
right.
it's kind of hard to tell in a group of people who's doing it or not,
right.
you know?
Sure.
And so anyway, so I had everybody stretch and shake and kind of shake it out and whatever. And I had, because that was kind of the silliest one, and it worked out that that was the third one, because I feel like people kind of were like, okay, I'm sort of getting the vibe here. And I said, you are our magic, feral and untamed. Flow into our circle as you flow through our veins.
Nice.
And then I said, we mark the border between the living and the dead and cross it. And then I had everybody go like, you know, just in sort of like, so mote it be, or and so it is. I was like, say like, hell yeah, or fuck yeah, or just holler or stomp or whatever.
Did people do it?
Because that's kind of more of like the wasteland vibe.
Did everybody do it?
Yeah, well, most people did it. I think some people were like, but, you know, nobody wants to be the one person that's shouting when everybody stops.
Yeah.
So, and so then I did the offerings to the spirits. So I had, like I said, I had a little bottle of honey, a little bottle of vinegar, and a little bottle of salt. And so I just kind of held those up and read it. Liha, Lady of Flesh, Witch of the Rose, Golden Sister of Bone and Blood. The beginning and the ending are your altar, great ancestress. We come with spells and offerings to lay at your feet. Gather to our circle the spirits of our kin, our tribes, and our loved ones. With honey, we honor thee. And then, you know, hail, holler, stomp, whatever.
Yep.
And I tried to really savor those words of like bring, because tribe and kin, like, we're sort of LARPing or cosplaying as, like, this tribe, and we use that word a lot. So I think that that, in a non-witchy way, really resonated with people.
Yeah.
That idea of, like, because, you know, calling in your ancestors or calling in your tribe. I think that that was a good one to start with because people kind of
got it. Yeah.
And the other thing that was really cute is that on one of these, I forget which one it was, but I accidentally skipped it. And someone was like, oh, I'm sorry. We skipped it. Is that okay? Do we need to go back? And I was like, no, it's fine. We'll just do it after. But it was so cute that, like, people were reading it so intensely that they were, like, literally reading along. And they were like, oh, no, you skipped it.
That's so fun. It's so, it's like,
I know.
Just as, like, an offhand comment, it's so interesting to think about the concept of writing something with, like, non-witch people in mind, because it's funny because, like, I feel like everything I do, why doesn't everybody just get it? But, right, you have to think of your audience and think, oh, yeah, not everybody walks around like we do every day thinking and saying this shit. So, yeah, I think this is fascinating. Keep going.
Well, especially, like, for people to be, it was really flattering that people were reading along as opposed to just, like, I'm kind of standing here waiting for this to be over, you know, that people were, like, literally
into,
like,
it,
following along, yeah, and, like, anticipating what was coming next. So that was really fun.
Yeah.
Even though it was, like, kind of embarrassing that I skipped something, it made me feel really good. So Cass, Lady of Stone, Witch of the Grey, Silver Sister of Shadow and Bone, neither the peak nor the valley, you are the descent, venerable teacher. We are taught by your lessons of the rise and fall. Welcome to our circle, the spirits of land and soil, keepers of this place. With salt, we honor thee. And then everybody does, hell yeah, yep, holler, stomp, whatever. Also, I would say, and I don't know if this is true for everybody that was there, but, like, since we're in Oklahoma and there is still, like, an unbroken line of indigenous people.
Right.
And I think that people, particularly there, but hopefully in America at large, are aware of that and are actively trying to honor that and acknowledge it.
Yeah.
That they're on tribal land, and whereas, like, not just, like, historically or figuratively,
like, really,
in Oklahoma, yeah, you are literally on tribal land that some of it is autonomously controlled by the tribe exclusively, finally.
Right, right.
So that is a very real thing that people are actively trying to be allies about and acknowledge and respect and restore. So I felt that one really strongly when we did it.
Good.
It's a little bit different when I'm just doing it in my house.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
But the spirits of the, especially when you're in, like, an urban or suburban environment, the idea of the spirits of land, it's sort of like, you know, this patch of grass that is not indigenous, yeah, here, that is, like, cut every few weeks, you know? It's a little abstract,
right?
But I really wanted that to, I wanted to be able to say that and feel sincere about it.
Yeah, and I think that crowd kind of that resonates with them too. Like, you know, you are all interested in being allies of that situation,
right?
All aware that you are in Oklahoma, and, you know, mm-hmm, that's important. So yeah, I think that's a good one.
Well, and that was something, too, that I tried to consider before or while I was writing it, but is something that in some cases kind of hit me in the moment, was how do these words that I may or may not have said in exactly the same way or not, or that I usually say in these other contexts, like, does that meaning change,
right,
based on where I am or who I'm with? And is there the potential for that to ring hollow, or is there the potential for that to be inappropriate or to sound insincere or to sound like lip service? You know, like, how, like, am I going to be able to say these words in this location, in this time, with this audience, and not sound like I'm full of it. You know, I need to be in a space where I can say all these words and mean them, and to the best of my ability, consider what they mean to the people I'm around and how that meaning might change based on the context. So, yeah, I don't know if I achieved that, but that was something that was definitely, on my mind.
Yeah.
And should be something that everybody considers all the time.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the last one. Alizari, Lady of Ash, Witch of the Garnet, Scarlet Sister of Blood and Shadow. The fading and rekindling are your crossroad, arcane sorceress. And we sacrifice our shame and delight to your blade. Invite to our circle the spirits of the other world, guides, familiars, and gods. With bitter wine, we honor thee. Hail, holler, stomp, whatever. So, one other note about that is the titles that we give to these sort of archetypes or personifications, you know, Alizari, Kaas, Liha, Shakur, all of those were basically words that I, me being the word nerd that I am, picked out of the words, a translation from a cool ancient language,
right,
for each of those. Some were, you know, like Proto-Indo-European, ancient Hebrew, ancient Egyptian, Proto-Uralic, Sanskrit, Greek, you know, just like all kinds of cool witchy sounding languages. Some of them were more poetic, so like some of them weren't necessarily a direct translation of that color.
Right.
But anyway, so I had, so I made this list like a dork, and then I had all of us on the podcast pick the ones that they liked the best for the colors that they felt most strongly identified with.
That's
so
right.
Obviously I picked Alizari for Garnet.
Yes.
I'm Garnet, you know, and you picked Kaas for gray,
yeah,
and Shakur,
yep,
for black.
Yep.
I believe Shakur is Hebrew.
Yeah.
I think that one. So anyway, so those are not like really names that we sort of use. They're more kind of like magical words.
Right.
It's more just like saying something that is in a foreign language that sounds magical, that has meaning on a level that is not, that is just purely symbolic or purely sound, as opposed to saying gray.
Right.
Or whatever.
Pink.
Yeah. And I thought about whether I should include those in this ritual or not, because given that within our own uncoven group, none of us speak any of these languages.
Yeah.
What are people that like have no idea what this is or where it came from or whatever? Are they going to be weirded out by these like barbaric words?
I think, I don't know. It's like the attribute that we give those offerings. I don't know. I think it probably sounded cool as fuck.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, I would fucking love to be at a weird ritual and hear people say like weird fucking words. I mean, maybe this is because I am the weirdo that made a list of like ancient words.
I mean, who didn't
but
love
I was
that
like,
scene?
I think that that'll be weird. It'll be unique. No one has been to a ritual hearing this combination of words before.
Right.
Except
us.
Most of these people have never been to anything where people were speaking Proto-Indo-European.
No.
Okay.
So
I was like,
right,
you know, I don't know. It's just, it's six words. People might not even notice, but I thought that it'd be fun.
I like it.
To just do it and
no,
have it.
Yeah.
And have there be some mystery.
Absolutely.
People are like, I don't know what that means.
Right.
Is that a word? Is that a goddess? What is that from?
Maybe they'll look it up and like learn some shit.
Yeah.
You never know.
They'll be like, why did she use this Proto-Finnic word for whatever?
Right.
It's a mystery. Anyway.
Was it
that was
it
that was
at
my
night?
Thought process.
Did you do this at night?
It was at sunset, okay, which was another consideration of how I was going to light things and how people were going to see what we're doing.
Right.
And did I need to give everybody like a battery candle or something or not?
Right.
It ended up being, since the sun was setting, there was enough ambient light that we didn't need extra light, but it was like getting spooky.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
It was perfect timing. Perfect timing.
Excellent.
So I strongly recommend dusk as a good time to do an outdoor ritual where you will not need extra artificial light.
Right.
But it will feel spookier than just doing it in broad daylight. So then I did decide to go with the sort of protection thing just so that there would be more stuff to do.
Sure.
And it would feel weird. So I was going to mark everyone with fire and smoke and with water and earth. So that meaning that I was going to put some incense on them, and then I was gonna kind of splash them with some water.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to use we did that whole ritual where we sort of did like a dark goddess sort of reclaiming some Catholic shit.
Yes.
So I did in Latin, in nomine ossis sanguinis et umbre sancte, in the name of blood, bone, and holy shadow.
Awesome.
So I was like, should I include that or not? I was like, anytime people say shit in Latin, it sounds cool. It sounds like witchcraft is going down.
Yep.
I think also for people whose only exposure to ritual has probably been in the context of Christianity, that will be both familiar and foreign.
Right.
So that dissonance, I think, is good.
Sure.
And a little freaky. And so I went through and I did that. And I, again, like, you know, if people didn't want me to put smoke or water on them, they could have, you know, said no thank you or whatever. Everybody was down.
Oh, good, good.
Some people that I think were prepared to just be like, I'm gonna step back, I don't want the witchcraft on me, ended up just going with it. And like I said, there were a couple of people that had like wandered in as we were getting started and were like fully like, yes, give me the blessing. I want
the blessing. I just got
here. They were like, this is great. I didn't know that this is what I was going to be doing in 10 minutes ago,
but now I want to do it.
I'm here for it. Yes, I want it.
That's awesome.
So that was really great because not only were people like not like get away from me with that, but people were like just their body language was like, I am opening myself up.
That's great. To this. Oh, that's
like,
so cool.
I am accepting this blessing, which was very flattering for people that I didn't know at all, to put that level of trust in me.
We need to do more public rituals. Maybe. I don't know. Like, you're good at it, though. That's great.
Well, thank you. Thanks. I tried my best.
Tell me about your
talismans.
So
then I also made... Yes. Okay. So I will show pictures of these because I think they turned out super rad
So excited.
Everybody knows I love doing sigils.
You do.
I think they're the best.
Yes.
They look fucking cool. In my opinion, the reason why they work is that it's a symbol, but not in the way that like, you know, like the little man crossing the street on a street light telling you to walk or not walk, where it's like kind of literal. Mm. Like a sigil should be as abstract as possible.
Yeah.
Because it's operating on this like non-conscious level.
Right.
So I think that it looks cool. It looks freaky. Like, you know that it means something, but you don't know what.
Right.
Like, I would love to have somebody hand me something with a sigil that they devised.
Well, and also to
and
me,
just have
like,
it as a little thing to keep.
The people that,
so
no, like, I think that you and Lily, the fact that you make them, like, it's very intentional. Like, it's very abstract and like, deep subconscious, but like, with intention. So
yeah,
I think that's its magic right there.
Well, and I had to think about what, because like I said earlier, I feel like protection is kind of, it's such a generic kind of banal sort of meaningless term, and also not really in the spirit of this event. So
right, exactly.
So, but some things that are problems are being thirsty, staying hydrated. So I made one thirst, and then I just did harm, like physical harm, like don't hurt yourself. Because mm-hmm. Whether you are drunk and fall over or get in an elbow fight with somebody or whatever it may be, to protect you from harm.
Right.
And then I said fear. So, and that could mean a variety of things. That could be your own anxiety or your own trepidation to do something adventurous, or it could be situations where someone is doing something antagonizing to you, making you afraid, to give you protection from being in that situation.
Right.
So that you are not put in a, to protect you from being in some kind of scenario where you would need to be afraid legitimately. So real and imagined fear. So the talisman was, I basically spelled out harm, thirst, and fear, and then abstracted those letters into this sigil. And so I went around and I handed one to everybody.
Well, when you say you handed it, what is it? Is it like a...
It's
okay. Is it a piece of wood? It
was,
is it a
little brown craft paper envelope, and it had the sigil in black on one side that was drawn in ink, and then I painted part of it with a brush, so it had like kind of like a swoopy Ooh, painted vibe to it. Nice. And then on the inside it had a piece of red thread with three knots in it, grave dirt, meaning dirt from a grave.
Yes.
A tiny little animal bone that I ethically sourced from my yard or the park. Mm-hmm. And shit, what else did I have in it?
That's a lot of stuff. That's cool. Ooh.
It was cool stuff. Oh, I think it had like peppercorns in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
I think.
I did a peppercorn thing. Remember?
Yeah. So I was like, I told people you can burn this, you can hide it under your bed, you can put it up on a shelf, you can
carry it with you,
hide it in a drawer.
Yeah.
You can put it on somebody's doorstep and freak them out. Whatever you want to do with
right.
it. Or you do not have to accept this from me. Just, you know, say no thank you or whatever. So I handed it to people and I looked them in the eye and I go, I offer you protection from harm, thirst, and fear.
Love it.
And I thought it was interesting to say I offer.
Yeah.
Because even though it's not super participatory, it's not like a call and response necessarily, someone taking this thing from my hands and is basically that's a conversation that we're having.
Right.
Because I'm saying I offer this to
not
you.
I give you.
And so then you are having to take the action of accepting it
right.
from me.
Right.
Which was very deliberate. And again, was something that somebody feels like they're participating and having an individual moment. But on the other hand, they're not being put on the spot to say something from a script and worrying about tripping over their words or saying it wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody had the opportunity to say, no, thank you, I don't want one. Everybody ended up taking one. So that ended up being fine. So and then the big, big exciting part was the ritual of severing with my steel blade. And I said, and now we will sever our mundane selves, our old selves. And so I went up to everybody and I like took my blade one by one. I'd look them in the eye, kind of pause for a second, see where it needed. So, you know, some people, like the gesture that I was making in front of them was like very strong. Some people it was like kind of more gentle. Some people it was like on their wrists or on their belly or in front of their face mm-hmm. or whatever. And then I would stand still and look at them in the eye and I go, discard your old name. Take a pause. And then I go, what is your name? But I'd said it like real serious like that. And they would say their tribe name.
Yeah.
Which would be like, you know, like Wolf. tiger. Yeah.
That's awesome.
What are some of the, like, yeah. And so then everybody else would go,
yes.
And like everybody would clap and stomp and be like, yeah.
That's awesome.
Rah! And so like, it felt really good. Yeah. Like, I think everybody had more fun cheering for everyone else.
Right, right. It was just like waiting to give that person recognition. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
So, yeah. And so then we did that. And then we got to the end. And my friend, the one that I've known the longest, which is how I kind of became friends with this group of people in the first place, he goes, whoa, wait, we have to do you.
Aw.
So he turns awesome. To me and he gets real serious. He goes, discard your old name. And he goes, what's your name? And I go, Coyote.
Oh, that's awesome. that sounds
it was
awesome.
So sweet. It was really sweet. It felt really, really good.
That's so cool.
And then I almost forgot to do this because I thought it was going to be kind of cheesy. Because chanting can be really cheesy, especially if the chant is itself cheesy. But if it's a good one, it can feel really good. So people kind of didn't. We ended, and the same guy, Wolf, was like, oh, wait, we got to do the chant. And so, like, the one that we do with us at Uncoven is, we are the weavers, we are the web, we are the black, the white, and the red.
Or a variation on.
Yeah. And we've done other ones that are really cool and stuff. But I did, I wanted it to be
wasteland
something
themed.
That everybody yeah. could get behind and would have that, like, yeah, we're in the wasteland, like, this is our tribe, blah, like, have that kind of vibe.
Right.
And be sort of non-denominational.
Sure.
So it's fucked up, God's damned, Scullies run the wasteland.
Love it.
Because Scullies are our tribe. And I thought it was, like, really, really cheesy.
Did everybody love it?
I almost skipped it. But I did it, and then we did it all weekend. Everyone kept forgetting the first part, but since it's sort of a call, and it turned out to be like this call and response thing. So anyway, anytime we would be out and about, someone would be like, fucked up, God's damned, and everyone would call back, Scully's run the wasteland!
Awesome. Oh, that's so great. Oh my gosh. So did you have a...
Because there's a bunch of other events where it's like for everybody. Like, oh, we did this funny one where we did like a mayoral debate.
Oh.
Like one of our friends and this other guy from another tribe, they're running for mayor of Wasteland and of Atomic Falls. And it was fucking hilarious. But, you know, so like for that, we were like, Scully's run the Wasteland.
Funny.
So we were doing that. And like, so it ended up being like a whole thing that everybody...
That's awesome.
So.
Did you get a lot of feedback?
Yeah, I had a lot of people say that they really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think like a lot of the real-time feedback of people seeming like into it and like obviously like not just sort of standing there waiting for it to be over.
Right.
A few people I talked to, I was like, I was really worried. I didn't want it to just be me like standing there and everyone listening to me. And they're like, no. I felt like we were really... like participated
yeah.
and the fact that like you know, I knew that a few people kind of wanted to watch but didn't maybe necessarily know if they were going to feel comfortable doing it for their own like personal religious reasons or
right.
or for whatever reason, you know, just being shy or
right.
or I mean, not my business, like totally. But the fact that like a lot of people I think or people that just stumbled upon it and didn't know us and were just like, I want to stay and see what happens.
Right.
That all those people ended up participating and, you know, accepting the talisman and like chanting along with us and all of that kind of stuff, that almost everybody, I feel like, did some of the participation stuff or did all of the participation stuff, kind of spoke to it feeling casual and fun and accessible, where people didn't feel like they were being put on the spot, but felt like, I don't know, everyone seemed like they had a good time and that it was fun. I was really surprised that the chant took off as its own thing.
I think it's great.
Because I thought it was really cheesy.
You wrote a thing and everybody loved it. I think it's great. That's awesome.
And I saved, we had leftover talismans. So some people that got there after Thursday night, I saved them for them and they were really into it. There was also later that night, they did a talent show and a burlesque show. And this amazing tribal dancer named Spectre, she's like this goth girl, but she has like bleach blonde, like white hair.
Oh, fun.
She did a belly dance kind of, sort of experimental dance to this Prodigy song that I love called The Day Is My Enemy. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. But she was all in white and her hair's white. And she also like was wearing like the big circle lenses, so black lenses. And then she painted her mouth black.
Ooh.
So she like opened her mouth and did like the Kali Ma tongue. Nice. It is all black. And I was like, oh my God, she's the white. So so after her thing, I was like, first of all, that song was great. I've been wanting to do something to that song. So thumbs up,
yeah.
Choreography friends. And I was like, and sorry, this is kind of a long story, but we did this ritual like a couple hours ago. And one of the things is the red, the white, and the black. And you are the white. So anyway, here's this talisman in this booklet. And she was like, oh my gosh, thanks.
That's
like,
so awesome.
Because I can tell she's like, witch. She's this goth chick. She's totally into it. So, yeah.
That's very cool.
That was my big public ritual.
I love it. I'm so glad we talked about it because I have been wanting to hear about it forever. It feels like that was like a million months ago. So much has happened since then, but we are good now. Your shit is working and we are back to hopefully every Sunday. We're going to try anyway.
Yeah.
We're going to try. So yay. Super Sorcerer Sunday.
Yay. And I will post plenty of pictures and we'll have the full text of the ritual on the open source witchcraft.
It's almost like newsletter. I know this, like I know that we're not, I mean, I don't want to be about like performative witchcraft and but I would love to see like still shots of this ritual because I think they would be amazing, right? Like you doing stuff to people. That knife photographs very well. So make sure you take pictures of that. It's hard to find a knife like that. I can't find another one because I've been looking. And I haven't found one that's like it yet. It has a very pronounced curve. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Well.
Yay. Well, thanks for letting me rant about my thought process on that.
No, I'm super excited.
I wasn't sure how interesting it would be to hear about a ritual that you were not at.
No, but it was 100% interesting. And I couldn't wait to see how it was received because I think the last time we talked about it, you were in the process of writing it. So I was really glad to hear about it. Thank y'all.
Well, thank you for talking to me about it.
Thank y'all. Okay. Well, should we give him the magic? One, two, three. Hocus pocus, bitches.